Welcome back to Reflections. My host Jorge Gonzalez. My guest today is Rosana Matienzo Carrion, the author of A Bordo del Normandy. And we're talking about Raimunda Benitez Rosas. As how, I don't know where you want to wind up. I cut you a little bit short.
No.
You know, in terms of your choosing, you're talking about it was came from Chivo, from Vargas Llosa.
Exactly.
And Uraña.
Exactly.
And you wanted to make... I'm going to tie that up because I have a couple other questions.
Okay. Well.
On the process, I'm always fascinated about you know, the process of either a painting or a novel.
It's very interesting.
Your
mind process. Raimunda, everybody says, oh, it's you. Well, it's not really me.
No.
It has a lot of me, but actually I wanted to also make
I never thought it was you.
I thank you. You know,
because I never thought it was you.
It's not me. It's a character. It's a character.
See.
And actually, the name comes from my grandmother, who was called Elvira de las Cruces, Seferina, Raimunda, Asunción, Rosas Denton.
But Raimunda Rosas Benitez is not a real person.
No, it's not a real person.
That was one of the questions.
Fiction. It's a person I needed to create with certain characteristics to be able to tell the story.
Sí.
And Raimunda is a type of character that you go back all the time and make amendments to Raimunda, so that
her story comes out like a lot. Most of these things come out, you know, page 280. You learn a little bit about her, and first
exactly
her beginning, you learn something. At the very end, you learn, you know,
because she has to be adapting all the time. You have to really be flexible about Raimunda if you want her to tell the story.
See.
You have to let her be.
It's really a
complicated character to create.
But when And when you come with the idea of her...
She grows a lot in the novel.
Yeah.
She becomes... When she starts...
Oh, she grows. Yeah, sure.
Grows a lot. Yeah, you know, when she starts, she's like this young woman trying to make something out of life.
See.
And I think you can see her through the novel.
So, yeah.
Become a flourish as a woman. And something that was difficult.
I'm just laughing now and just thinking of the scene where... Cobian is disloyal to her, desleal y desloyal. You just use these words, you know, infidelidad y
infidelity.
Y desleal. Well, anyway, but not so much that, but with Iris.
And
then she decides to put a
tattoo
of Iris and says, you know, this is my revenge, you know, of Iris on her butt.
Exactly.
So she does grow.
But she will always have the tattoo.
But the idea of her came from the very beginning when you started, or
yes,
or, yeah, okay,
yes,
okay,
because
so,
like I said, I work with Vargas Llosas,
okay,
and I also wanted to make sure that my fictional character wasn't as weak as with all due respect as Vargas Llosas Uraña was, because she was weak a witch character, and Raimunda isn't a weak character. Although I was really sad at the end that Raimunda does not emerge as a hero, but as anti-hero, because she ends up alone.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I started trying to make a novel that was about strong women. I believe that I am a feminist in my outlook of life, and I wanted to make a woman that really stood on her own, and I wasn't able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Raimunda. It falls short.
Oh.
I feel she grows and everything, but I wish that she would have flourished even more.
Yeah.
And actually, I had a big discussion about that with my editor, and I wrote the end three times, and trying to see if we could get Raimunda to be the hero of the novel, because the novel doesn't really have a hero but the Normandy, but the hotel in itself.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked really with trying to make Raimunda a hero. And the end that we chose after going through the three of them, she didn't emerge as such, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So
the other comment I mentioned this to you when we called about when I called you to sort of confirm the thing, and I said I found it kind of interesting that in the same context within the same paragraph, you use Don Felix and Felito and just Felix as interchangeable. Of course, as a narcissist that he is, and it's just so clear, and you make it clear that
Don
Felix
was.
Is a narcissist, and it's just, but he always is referred to by most people as Don Felix, and he refers to himself as Don Felix, and his children reflect him as
yes,
Don Felix.
Yes, isn't that amazing?
I found it interesting that you put a letter at the very end to his daughter, and he was magnificent 73, so it was quite a bit, almost 20 years later, but he sounds like he wants to be
exactly
some amable, some love and for the first time, etc. But he signs, after some words.
Don Felix.
He says Don Felix.
He goes back to the same.
and his children called him Don Felix, But anyway, was there as you would change from Felix to Felito to Don Felix, was there something conscious in your doing it, or just?
Yes, was conscious because I think depending on the situation or the person speaking, they would call him a different name,
even in the same paragraph. Picture?
Well, maybe if I use that on the same paragraph, then this person must have really known him, or I would have perhaps the narrator all the time refers to him as Don Felix. So maybe it was a dialogue, and then it was the narrator speaking. I don't know the exact place where I do that, but did that bother you?
No. What I mentioned to you is that, sometimes depending on with that Muerte Artemio Cruz, which is my thesis, Carlos Fuentes, with respect to Artemio, who's dying, says, doesn't in the tú y yo y él, and uses these three references for the consciousness of Artemio Cruz describing his different things in the past and what was happening there, etc. And I just was, but I think he's basically for most people he was for himself and for his children and for
Don
him was
Felix. Don,
but I was just whether there was any conscious change, but apparently it was
no, really. And also most people call a lot of his friends really called him Felito.
Sí.
I'm going to make a tell you another anecdote that I think is really telling of the man that I didn't use because it was very personal, and it was related to me by one of his grandchildren. And it is that this daughter, Aide, the youngest one,
Aidecita,
he met her when she was 15, and she was the one that he met her and he just took off. So she was the one that really...
He met his daughter when she was 15. Yeah, I think she said she saw met him twice in his life.
Exactly.
In her life. Incredible.
And she
meeting a daughter twice in her life.
And she was the one that called him Don Felix. And his children, Aidecita's daughter, called him Don Felix solo. Aidecita's granddaughter. It became a generational thing. Because when Aide was Aidecita was died, she died of Alzheimer's, and she was all the time calling her father, calling Don Felix, and saying that what had happened to her, that she hadn't had an opportunity of relating with her father. So that sounds like a literary resource, but it really wasn't. It was real, and it was a very painful event for the daughter.
And the other thing interesting is you choose a specific 10 years, I believe it is.
Yes.
And basically the inauguration of the Normandy, the transatlantic first sailing of this fantastic ship, and then when it's finally inaugurated but then there's a two or three areas where you go beyond the 10 years, you sort of glimpse it
you're amazing
he never really is able to have any relationship with the children. And apparently he tried, I think.
He tried. He really tried. But as you see, that was way 20 years later, he's writing letters to her, to his daughter, asking her to say, for them to love him.
Sí, sí.
But he hadn't put in the work that it entails to be a dad.
Wasn't successful at all, right?
And then I say at some point, which goes with your first statement about greed. I say, you know, you can't have everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's always going to be something that will be missing. And that brings me to one time I was in Kyoto, and we went to one of these temples, of these Tao temples, one of the oldest of them all. And it had 13 stones. It was a stone garden, and it had 13 stones. But you could never see the 13 stones. You only saw 12. And it didn't matter the angle in which you hung around those walls. You would never see the 13 stones.
Mm.
And the lesson was that you can't have everything.
Mm-hmm.
So Taoism understands that, as well as the rest of the world, that you can't have everything. And this novel shows it. Your reading of Lucas at the beginning of the evangelist really touched me, because it seems so current.
Right, current.
Says don't have fun and just
you have Trump,
use your money.
You have Trump, that everybody agrees, even his best friends, that he's a narcissist.
He's unbearable.
I look, just before I got, reason I was a little late, the I told you, 15 minutes, and I decided to go to Google to see what the word narcissist meant, and I don't know if I could, but you know, it I mean,
Don
Felix is a complete every single aspect of what a narcissist is, and of course it becomes an illness, you know. But and Trump and Epstein, you know, they're just completely,
they fall in the same boat.
No empathy, they self-important. One of the things is just a quint. I think, I don't know if it's, but they don't finish their studies. They don't graduate from where they go.
I had never gotten
Epstein,
that point.
Epstein, if I figured out, Epstein never really went to where he said he went. Trump has never been able to. Trump has never been able to show, you know, that he has a diploma. He refuses to, you know. And Don Felix, you know, left Dickinson.
Same.
After 3 years. Was it Dickinson? Yeah, Dickinson after 3 years. You know, that's one of the things that they just.
It's interesting. I hadn't even noticed that.
But going forward, you also.
I mean, Baron Narciso comes from the Greeks. You have the mito de Narciso, which is a guy that falls in love with himself.
See, you know, look in the water.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
the other thing that goes forward, of course, is, you know, she goes forward because, you know, she can do that because she's the narrator of the. But she says when she goes and visits the Normandy, so she knows the Normandy when it's already starting to decay. What was interesting is that she says that after the year she spends, you know, doing her novel, she all of a sudden goes out, and all of a sudden she sees that the Normandy is not what she thought of when she walked in, that the decaying thing she had never noticed, and she saw it as it was. It's kind of interesting that we go in sometimes into a relationship and into a or to a visit or something, and we have these expectations.
Exactly.
And we don't see what is. I think one time you say era de this other character,
Ertel.
He says, I always saw him, but I never really saw him. Lo vi, pero nunca lo miré. I looked at him, but I never saw him.
Exactly.
I was walking away. This is after 10 years. She says,
but life is like that.
Yeah. So the same thing with the Normandy, like Daniel Chihuahua. So, but that was the looking forward. And of course, it ends up, you know, I love this statement that you say at the end, and we're running out of time, is it that this was like the Puerto Rican Taj Mahal, you know, he had her name is incredible, Lucien Del Tel. Her last name was Hotel, you know. And it's incredible. But I think we got to wind up, and we could talk, you know, for the rest of the afternoon on this. But I think what I wanted to sort of tie it down, and because, you know, this program. Somebody wrote to me, you know, why are you talking about this uninteresting topic? I try to wrap it up, because I'm always trying to get a message for our well-being. And
yes.
And here, I think, you know, one of the interesting topics we didn't get into. What was Don Felix a happy person, you know?
I wonder.
And Trump and Epstein, you know, and but in any case, the thing I wanted to end up is, and I think we all agree, is you know, the capital sin of greed and being too materialistic and not having empathy and the importance of the family and all. So I think some people can live and be happy that way, and I can't choose it. But overall, it tends to and I think in the face of what you're saying at the end, he really craved for family to sort of love him, and he wasn't able to do that. And I think, you know, with Epstein, and let's see what happens with Trump. But you know, the narcissist, I think at the end may suffer. I don't know.
They suffer. One of the narcissists, one of the famous narcissists, was married to Princess Margaret, and I read an article that said that he left a trail of ruin behind him. It's really fascinating talking to you. I mean, and you go into some depth that most readers, I am afraid, don't even get there.
No, we haven't even touched, you know, status and with Puerto Rico and everything else. But we run out of time. Hector's going to start really jumping up and down. Rosanna, thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for writing this. I love this hotel and this historical novel. It's fantastic. So, readers, purchase it. Read
thank
it.
You, thank
Enjoy
you.
It. On Savor it. Take care. And next week. And don't be greedy.
Thank you. No.
Allegro WIPR 91.3 FM was proud to present Reflections, hosted by Jorge Gonzalez, reflecting on events with our well-being in mind.